Angie, who's calling in from Berkeley, California, listening on KFAX. Welcome to the program, Angie.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Today I'm calling because I just need help bringing the right referral for my son and for our family. My 17-year-old, 3 weeks ago, he left our home and left us a note that he intended to end his life. So a year and a half ago, we started seeing like a lot of self-isolating, like at school and at home, just wanting to be by himself, and losing, like he mentioned, he, you know, wasn't focusing in school, and school was now really hard for him, and he wasn't being able to focus. And in the past year and a half, we've had him see 3 different counselors, you know, and none of them were able to get through to really see just how deeply depressed he was. And the note that he left us, it said that, you know, he was just feeling so hopeless and didn't see a point in living all that. He was also tired of hearing my husband and I argue so much throughout all this year, so the fight. And so I just feel like that my husband and I contributed to, like, all this pain and hurt, and we were so focused on us that we didn't really see how much damage we were causing him, and you know, so we just need help finding, like, the right help and support for him. We've seen a counselor through our insurance right now, but I don't think she's really good or making any headway or getting to any of the root issues that are going on for him and our family.
How long has he been seeing the new counselor?
Like 3 weeks now.
So I would say give it some more time. Whatever's going on with him is deep rooted, and it could take some time to form a good rapport, a good relationship, and for him to get to the point where he feels safe opening up and sharing everything with them. It also can take some time for the therapist to get to a place where they feel that the person can tolerate more pushing. And so 3 weeks isn't a whole lot of time. So give it, I would say, if you don't think that it's making it worse being with this therapist, give it a little more time and maybe have a conversation with the therapist and see if you can find out what's the treatment plan, what direction are we going in.
Does he have siblings? Yes. Are there other kids or no?
Yes, he has 2 older brothers.
And are they around or no? Are they off to school?
They're older, so one right now is actually at home. His oldest brother is at home, and then his middle sibling is off away at school in college.
Did the older brother know that he was suffering like this?
No, they didn't know either. He tells us that he was like that he hid it and that he didn't want us to know how badly he was feeling, because then we would like interfere with this plan to just end his life. So yeah. That's why he didn't let us know, and he didn't let the previous counselors he know just what he was really feeling.
And you know, one thing he did that was really brave, Angie. I mean, your son was insanely brave to tell you how the fighting was hurting him. Mm. Insanely brave. And he wrote that letter with the intent to not be here anymore.
Yes.
So that was like one of his last truths in his mind. It could have been a last truth. I would hear that with like a megaphone. The reason I'm saying that, and I don't know if you know this, Angie, but my brother took his life. He committed suicide 3 years ago. Yeah.
Sorry.
Thank you. It was so sad. heartbreaking beyond words. And it was right around Christmas. Mm-hmm. It was the week before Christmas, and no one knew. Like, his wife was at home. They were living with my mom. My mom didn't know. They were going to go shopping for gifts that day. They were, my mom and his wife were making breakfast, and he took his life while they were making breakfast in the other room. But when somebody is thinking about taking their lives, and it's a very honest suicide attempt or a suicide letter, count on one thing. They feel trapped. They feel trapped. And they believe that there's no way of getting out of that dilemma. So the level of trappedness that he feels as you guys have been fighting, you know, it's not, think about parents fighting, right? It doesn't feel safe to talk to the parents about them fighting because, like, it doesn't feel safe. He's hearing it. He probably is a kid that has a tender heart. Does he have a tender heart? And these kids, they pick up in the environment what is hurting the environment. He's trying to navigate what to do with your heart. He's trying to navigate what to do with his dad. He feels like he's in the middle and he can't stop that. One thing that I would do, and I would recommend you thinking about this as an intervention ASAP, is I would actually have a family session with him in it. And I would have you guys own, 100% own the damage around your fighting and how that harmed him. Like, you guys need to fall on your sword and take ownership over why he felt so trapped. He couldn't stop it. Because everybody's trying to figure out, like, deep, deep, deep stuff for him. But he gave you the stuff that's on the surface, like the stuff that was, he was trapped. And I'm sure there's more in there. But parents taking ownership can let some of the steam out of what he's stuck in and normalize his stuck place. And maybe give him a breath of fresh air as far as his own counseling work, because you guys are owning it instead of just pretending or going into shame and being mad at each other that somehow you caused this. It's like,
or trying to explain it away, you know, if you can just take ownership of it rather than, well, when dad does this, I have to, or when dad saying, well, your mom, you know how she is. Sometimes we start to try to explain, and all that does is invalidate the other person's experience. And so really what you have to do is just own your role in the fighting, in the chaos that you've created in the household, and then the ways that that has impacted your child.
So maybe go and see that family therapist first together, you two, because you guys got to be non-defended, deflecting, blaming, defending, all that stuff is crazy making. But you guys... Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Oh, go ahead. No, I just wanted to add, like, hearing you say that, like, at the top of the show, it really, like, resonated with me, too, because I've been in therapy, like, all these years. We've been married, like, 26 years now. And, like, some of my therapists have been, he might be a little, your husband might be a little bit narcissistic. So through our arguing, he would deflect a lot or, like, turn it around. And it's like I was the one to blame, and I was just, so I don't know, just a lot of stuff to kind of deal with and manage. And my focus turned on, like, well, something must be wrong with me and I need to fix me. And anyways, even my son in his note, he kind of alluded to that. Like, yeah, dad always, you know, made it seem like he was in the right and couldn't be wrong ever. So I know, like, he picked up on all that because he was so sensitive.
Yeah. Sweet boy.
Didn't get him the right support. And I just feel so much guilt and hurt, but I'm so hopeful and thankful that, you know, we have an opportunity again.
You do.
Right.
You do. You do.
Yes.
So get in. Bring that suicide note in to your first session with mm-hmm. your therapist.
Mm-hmm.
And start okay. working on what's going on in the coupleship, but don't wait too long to have mm-hmm. him come in
yeah,
and
man.
Just to normalize and have your husband own it. You know what? Yeah, I have. I oftentimes mm-hmm. make it about your mom, and I've been wrong. I've been wrong in that. And I hope your husband will listen to this.
Yeah, hopefully he can hear that.
Yeah.
It is hard as parents of adults. My husband and I often talk about how challenging it is to sit in the mm-hmm. discomfort of your kid telling you all the ways you hurt them. Mm-hmm. And we also find that being able to sit in that space with them and validate their experience just makes our relationship stronger. They need to be able to talk about what it looked like from their vantage point and how that's impacting mm-hmm. their marriages and what we can do different. And there are times when it's really hard because you disagree with what the kid is saying. My husband, he hates hearing that he wasn't around, but he was a Marine and he was deployed often. And so he wasn't around. He doesn't see it that way, though, because he was working mm-hmm. and he wasn't mm-hmm. a deadbeat dad, and he had a deadbeat dad. And so he's nothing like that man. But he still ended up with children who feel like their dad wasn't ever around, even though he and I are still together and he was mm-hmm. away at work.
Mm-hmm.
But he has had mm-hmm. to hear them and not come back with, but no, I was working. He's had to hear them and respond with, I'm really sorry that was so hard for you. And that's mm-hmm. where you have to be in the first rounds of these conversations. Eventually, they can come back around and see your side, and they'll present that. You don't have to present it. They do come back around and say, well, you, at the age I am now, you had two kids and a deployed husband. That had to be really hard. But they couldn't get to that place until I could say, I'm really sorry you had an emotionally unavailable mother and that I couldn't connect with mm-hmm. how hard it was for you for your dad to be gone. So you guys have to show up for them. And like you said, mm-hmm. you have this opportunity. It's such a blessing that you have mm-hmm. this opportunity that you guys were able to find him or however it mm-hmm. turned out that you got him back. So...
Yeah.
Take this time to do. You're looking for a good therapist for him, but I think you and your husband need a good therapist based on that yeah. letter he wrote.
Yeah, Angie, mm-hmm. I think you said that you've been to a therapist, but have you been to couples therapy?
Yeah, we have.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess I'm looking more for like a referral to like a family therapist because yeah, I do think like we need to heal like with us there and him.
Yeah.
Processing all of this. Yeah.
I think you do, but I also think mm-hmm. that couples therapy is in order because him coming into mm-hmm. a family therapy session with you all just to yell and scream at each other is not going to do him any good. Mm-hmm. You and your husband need to get on the same page
yep.
and then bring him in.
Right. So I think we now, you know, we're in a better place in these past like 3 or 4 years, like, than we had been in the past, but I feel like we don't really argue and do all that like we used to.
Mm-hmm.
It has much improved, but I think like the damage was like already done, you know?
Yeah. And sometimes people will say, well, that's in the past. We don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
So work with mm-hmm. the husband so that he understands, even though it's in the past, it's still present in the body.
Yeah. And you'll need to hear your boy. Because even if it was in the past, he's living it like it's now. He wasn't suicidal 4 years ago when it was going on or whatever. There's stuff going on. And so anyway, I hope we said something that makes sense to you.
Yeah, and we'll think of a resource to
How
send
we love.
To you. How We Love? Okay, mm-hmm. we'll send you the How We Love book that's also available for purchase online at newlife.com.